You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Well, good morning, everybody. I got a little bit of a cold since it's really, really hot over in America right now, and I stayed in New Zealand 2 days too many. So anyways, what an honor to be here with you this morning. We're so excited to be here. I wish Pastor Graham and Chris were here, but they're over there, obviously, in Uganda, doing an amazing work. I keep up with many of you on Facebook and now Instagram, which is really popular, and so it's so awesome to see the different things that God is doing and in and through LMC and the people here. So, but this year, I was able to bring my daughter Zoe with me, and she's sitting here in the front row. I told her she needed to stand up, so Zoe, just stand up real quick right there. That's Zoe. So anyways, and Jill and Josiah are home doing well. And I think maybe next week I'll pop up a picture of my wife and son so you can see them and see how they're going. But everything's going really well. And so we're just excited. What a great day today for Family Day. We have all the kids in here today. Where's all the little kids? Can you guys raise your hands up real high? Awesome. I want to tell you a secret. Ready? Your parents have a strange accent. Just a heads up. I wanted you to know that, okay? So anyways, now somebody told me that we need to get out of here pretty quick or the Bible verse is going to be Jesus wept and so will the parents that have all the little kids in here that are just dying to get out of here. So good thing is I'm not a long-winded preacher. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you this morning real quick about being a cathedral builder, about building a legacy, about as parents, as singles, as a church, as youth, as children, about the choices we make and how they affect our future. And so I'm going to be addressing a couple different things. And so rather than saying this is the church, this is the family, let's just go with the idea that I'm going to be speaking to families. I'm going to be speaking to single adults. I'm going to be speaking to single parents, children, youth, basically everybody that's here. And also in reference to the church, as in the body of Christ, okay? The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 127, a powerful scripture that is really directed towards family. Now, I understand, I've had the privilege for years to be with a guy by the name of Tony Maturana, who actually was the reason why I'm here today. And he had a ministry for single parents and still does to this very day. And so I learned from him and appreciate the fact that when we're talking about family, we do understand that there's the traditional mom and dad family. But we also understand that sometimes life happens and people find themselves as a sole parent, a single parent, you know what I mean, a widower. And so you can often feel like when a message like this comes across, somehow this is not directed at you, and somehow the enemy would want you to feel shamed, slighted, and all that kind of stuff. But I understand that God receives us all. And so when I talk about family, I'm talking about we are the family of God. Amen? We are the body of Christ. And so how many people know it doesn't matter what you've been through, it matters who's brought you through. Amen? And so that's what we're talking about this morning. But the Bible says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. I don't know about you, but I don't want to labor in vain when it comes to my family. Now, families are a great thing. Would you agree? Children are a blessing from the Lord. Would you agree? I love my children to death. I really do. I support them in everything they do. I go to all their football games, all Zoe's volleyball games. Their friends come over our house and eat up all our food. Okay? We support them. We love our kids. One of the things that we like to do is go away sometimes as a family on a vacation. Does anyone like vacation time? Man, a bad vacation is better than a great day of work. Would you agree with that? Amen to that one right there. Well, We went canoeing this year in a place in Arkansas. You know where they've got six teeth and that's 30 people in the room? Okay. You just got that, right? Okay. All right. So I want to make sure you're with me there, okay? So, but we went to a little town called Ponca, Arkansas. And they have a canoeing river down there called the Buffalo River. And it's mostly a rain-fed river. And it's a class 2, sometimes 3 rapids. So canoeing, when you're taking a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, can be an exciting time. Not only that, but it's spring, so the water is really cold. I don't know what you call it in Celsius, but let's just say that when you jump in, you could lose 10 pounds. Just all the fat just goes like inside of you, okay? It's that cold, all right? Things just disappear. It's that cold, all right? I'm just telling you. So you go in the water, and it's freezing. So we go there, and we spend a few days down there in a cabin, and, you know, it's just awesome. And so my son wants his own kayak. He doesn't want to be no more in a canoe with dad or mom. He wants his own kayak. Zoe doesn't care who she rides with as long as she doesn't have to row. She's kicking back and it doesn't matter. Jill and I don't want to be in the same canoe because we fight. Because she wants to steer and I know how to steer, okay? I'm just telling you right now, guys, we know how to steer a canoe, don't we? Yes, our wives just need to just chill out and let us do it. And so a couple of years we went back and we were on a raft trying to figure it out. And she's going one way and I'm going another. And we went right through a bunch of trees. I got cut in the head. My son got cut. Jill got her hair caught in the tree. And so all this kind of stuff. So, but anyways, we tried to get three kayaks. And because of the height of the water, because of how cold it was, they wouldn't let us do that. They said, no, you can either get a raft, which a raft is pretty impossible to flip. I mean, you have to be a real idiot to flip a raft. You just really do. Okay? Canoes, you know they can tip. And so Josiah didn't want a raft. Jill and I didn't care. Zoe was like I said, I don't care as long as I just don't get wet and we can chill out. So anyways, we went with two canoes. So two canoes is the way to go. Now, I did, we all brought a spare change of clothes just in case. We learned that from the first time. Okay, so, and this time I actually brought some kind of like a lighter so I could make a fire because that's important too. So anyways, we're canoeing along and we ain't in the water 10 minutes and Jill and Zoe flip. It actually was really funny, okay? Because now the girls are flipped and me and Josiah are laughing and Zoe panics. Now, she does not realize that the water she's fallen into is only about this deep. But she panics. And she starts swimming over to me and Josiah. Now, we're in that weird place as a parent and a brother where we're trying to paddle away. Like, and I got the oar at her, like, keep away. But that's my daughter. She might drown. You know, I'm in that funky kind of place there. You know what I mean? That weird place. And she lost our digital camera. I won't even tell you how expensive it was, but we took it out of her when she was asleep. She didn't realize it. We beat her when she was asleep. But we lost a backpack full of clothes. Things just disappeared. Shoes, they were gone. And she flipped me and Josiah. Now everybody's wet. Everybody's wet. And ain't nobody happy. Anybody been there? There's no spiritual living right now. The flesh is raining. Everybody's cold, shaking, wet, and you know, you gotta love the people who canoe by who look at you like, you invalid. You know what I mean? And they're canoeing by and we're wrecked and they're just sort of smirking at us. And so, you know, when you're in those kind of situations as a family, they're never really fun when you're in the moment of them. Would you agree? But as you look back over them, you're able to have a good laugh. You're able to laugh back at some of those things that happened because that's just sometimes what family is like. Would you agree? Sometimes in family, sometimes in our churches, sometimes in our relationships, things are going really great. And then sometimes they just blow apart. and in the heat of them is when we really can decide if we want to, what kind of legacy do we want to leave? It's in those times there that God can really speak to our hearts about choices we make and what we are going to do. The Bible says, like I said, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. If anybody here is over the age of 40, raise your hand. Man, you guys are old. And let's just say for the sake of argument, anybody who's over the age of 40 can look back over their life and realize some choices that we have made have not been the greatest choices. Would you agree? But we're so thankful that the Bible says that in all things, God works those things for our good. Amen? So when we're talking about church now, church is not a place you go to, but a family you belong to. You belong to the family of God. And whether you come and you're a single adult, you know, I didn't get married till I was 30. God finally had mercy on me. He said, all right, I'll give you Jill. I mean, that's it. You know what I mean? But, you know, I remember as a single guy, when I would travel and preach, the luggage would come off the airport thing and you're just waiting for it. And that's how sometimes I felt like a single guy, like somebody go, yeah, all right, I'll just grab that guy right there. You know what I mean? Just sort of, you're just hanging around. You just feel sort of like, you know, whatever. But God has a purpose for everything in our lives. And no matter where we are, when we go, when we get involved in the life of a church, maybe some are visiting here today and you're looking for a church, or maybe you've been involved in some churches and you know the canoe experience. You know what it's like for everything to just blow loose. But a church is a place that you don't go to, but a family you belong to. So I want to just look at a couple of things right quick here on legacy building or cathedral building. Number one, we must learn to look at life in the long term. Would you agree? So much is of the here and now, right now. Young people, teenagers, you know what's all about right now. The moment, this moment, what I'm doing right now. We don't always often think about the tomorrows, but we got to look at life in the long term. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set, God bless you, before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Parents, our decisions to put the Lord first, to serve God no matter what. Young adults, to put God first. Newly married couples, to put God first and to say, this is what we're going to do. These are the choices we're going to make as a family. This is how we are going to live our lives. You are building a legacy. Do you know we're here today? Because a long time ago, not too long ago, a man by the name of Pastor Hal Oxley had a vision and responded to God in faith. And Pastor Hal Oxley gave up a lot that some 20-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and those yet to be born may never fully understand. But the man was a legacy builder, a cathedral builder. He has established something that will live beyond his years. I think it's worth just giving him a hand again this morning and just say thank you, Pastor Hal. What an amazing man. And when the Bible says honor your father and mother, there's something that's been lost in churches today where people don't want to honor founding fathers. But the Bible says to us in the natural, if we honor our mothers and fathers, it will go well with us and we will live a long life. And a church that honors its founding fathers, God will give it long life. And there's health and life in this place. There's health and life in this place. There's healthy spiritual people in this place. There's great people in this place. There's some crazy people in this place too. I just tell you that right now. You know what I mean? Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond. Let me say to you that one of the things in building a legacy is our choices determine our destiny. Young people, oh my word. Young guys and girls that are thinking, well, I got to have somebody in my life to be special. I got to have a guy to lean on. I got to have a boyfriend. I got to have a girlfriend. Let me tell you, those choices you make can have long-term consequences. So you would rather be single and enjoy life than to be married and miserable. You'd rather be single and enjoy life and serve God and trust God for the right person to come into your life than you would to sell out and be washed out on the shore. Amen? Number two, we must be faithful regardless of our family or our circumstances. Deuteronomy 28 says this, and I'm going to read all this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations. All the blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Listen, this is for us as parents. This is for you as a single. This is for you as a teenager, as a child, as a church family. This is what the Word of God says. He says you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. You know, the most important thing to me right now in my life is not whether or not I get to travel and preach all over the world anymore. It's that my kids grow up and know the Lord and have a great, happy, blessed life. Amen? That's the number one thing to me that means the most to me. I just resigned out of the church that we took over not too long ago because for some time we just couldn't get any youth there in our church. And our kids, we're just watching our kids. Jill and I are serving and giving in this church and being faithful and great church. I mean, and we're doing it, but there's nothing for our kids. And as much as you want to be in full-time ministry, you start realizing what matters the most is that we put God first and secondly, we honor our family. But the Bible says the fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crops of your land and your young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs in your flocks, your basket and your kneading will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come. You'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant your enemies who rise up against you and they will be defeated. They will come from you at one direction but flee in seven. The Lord will send blessing upon your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord will bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people as he's promised you an oath. And if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. If the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb and your livestock and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to give to you from your ancestors. Do you want that type of blessing of God in your life? Listen, I understand the importance of giving financially. And America has abused that in many ways. People are so convinced that if they give a big love offering to Dr. Brother Blessing on TV, somehow life's problems are going to fall away. And they don't realize that it's in the small things that God's looking for in obedience. In the little things. We want to build a legacy. You want to be able to see your children's children blessed and serving God. Don't you? You want to be able to stand up and know what it is to have the blessing of God in your life, even though you did nothing to get it. God was gracious and you simply obeyed when life got tough. And you chose to follow the Lord. Amen. Number three, God understands then your particular circumstance and he wants to help you. If you're sitting here today as a parent or as a young person, you're saying, I don't know what to do. I'm in over my head. Let me say to you this. When you go through something, focus on who God is. God's character will not change because of your circumstances. God is faithful. He is faithful. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is faithful. He is good. He is a God of wisdom. He will be with you. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are his riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible for us it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods. For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who knows enough to be his counselor? When you and I are going through tough times, when the canoe is flipped upside down and there's panic and chaos and things are lost and you're mad and it's just all, it's breaking loose. That's when you and I need to know God is there to help us through what we're going through. He did not. One of the biggest lies you'll hear people say or believe is that somehow when you are living great, God is really happy with you. And when you somehow mess up, God turns his back on you. And he's just going to leave you alone until you come begging back to him. Please, please, please. Listen, if my kids mess up, I don't sit there and make them beg me. You know, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm not going to talk to you, you filthy animal. I mean, I'm really, really sorry. No, you're not. Scratch my back. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Rub my feet. I mean, you know, until they somehow are beaten down to a point where they're worthless, and then I might live them back. And I'm not even the greatest dad on planet Earth. So how much more, the Bible says, does our Father in heaven love? And so when you and I mess up, we got to realize that when the canoe's flipped over, God is there to collect us back together because he loves us. So be encouraged today. If you're going through something, remember, God has not changed. He loves you the same. Amen? Push somebody and say, you're loved. Then push him back and say, I love you. There you go. Well, number four, God specializes in changing us and conforming us into his image. Look at somebody and say, you just look like the Lord. Say, I didn't know Jesus was bald. He had big blue, he had long hair like Fabio. You know what I mean? I didn't think Jesus was Asian. I thought he was, European. I didn't think he was white. Did Jesus really have an American accent? Come on now. Are you kidding me? But we are being conformed into the image of God. All of us, as we yield to the Lord and as we follow the Lord, God works in us. He who began a good work in you will complete it. Some of us, we're real pieces of work. And God has to work extra hard on some of us. Would you agree? Any extra hard projects sitting in the house here today? Yeah. You know what I mean? God just, oh my gosh. God can't say, oh my God. I mean, you know, so, oh my me. You know, what did I do? You know what I mean? On the head a few times, you know what I mean? Just whatever. But God works in us. And aren't you grateful for the Holy Spirit that comforts us when we know we have messed up? 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit of God. If we want to be legacy builders, cathedral builders, our choices affect our destiny. You know, I'm 47 now, and I'm in pretty good health. I'm thankful for that. I really am. I just had my physical, and I'm in really good health for my age. No blood pressure medicines, no cholesterol medicines, no medicines. I thank the Lord for that. But I got some friends my age and that I went to high school with, and they were rough on themselves. They were rough, and they're feeling it now. They're feeling it now. Knees going out, backs going out, lungs being shot. The choices we make. Man, God loves them, and we need to love them. But just in the natural sense, the things we do to our bodies today, I'm telling you, if you're 20, you might be thinking, that old guy ain't going to do that. When you're 47, you'll wake up one day and something will pop, and you'll be walking like this going, I don't know why in the world, what happened? All I did was blow up a balloon. I don't get it. Things are just going to just start happening in your body. Would you agree, parents? Huh? I mean, holy smokes. How can you blow out a thumb watching a racing game holding a remote. Ow! Ow! Oh, my God, my thumb. I mean, how does it happen? My thumb is locked up. I mean, it's crazy. Choices you make today will affect your tomorrow, spiritually, relationally, naturally. You and I are called to be legacy builders. Now, how about that? It is 11:05. Can somebody say amen? The most painful part is over. I'm almost done talking. I'd like you to bow your heads, though, with me this morning. What a beautiful church. I really wish Pastor Graham was here. I was thinking, what can I do to his car to get him for all those Huntsman spiders he threw at me? But I just can't. I'll think of something. But, you know, maybe you're here today. For the sake of time, I'm not going to have an altar call this morning. I'm really looking forward to preaching at the youth on Friday and then next Sunday morning and Sunday night. Next Sunday night, I'm going to be praying for healing for people. But this morning, let me talk to you for a minute. Maybe mom and dad, you're here today and you just feel overwhelmed in your circumstance or your situation with your family. Maybe you're here visiting and you said, you know what? I've been in a church, the canoe tipped over, we lost everybody, and I barely made it to shore. Maybe you're in that situation. Maybe you're a single adult this morning. You go, man, you know, I'm in my late 20s, I'm in my late 30s, and is something wrong with me? No way. Good cakes take a long time to cook. At least that's what they tell me. Maybe you're a teenager and you think, man, you know, my parents, things have happened, my home life's rough and this and that, and maybe you're just out now and you find yourself going, you know, I'm making choices that I know are wrong, but I just don't know where to turn. I want to pray with you this morning that God will just come to you and pour out his amazing love upon you this morning. Would you just bow your heads this morning? I want to pray for you. Dad and mom, you're here today. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're like me where you go, help, my home's been invaded by teenagers. What do I do? God has all the wisdom to help us. God has all the wisdom to help us. Well, I'm here today and I'm a widower. I'm a sole parent. I'm a single parent. I'm an unwed mom. And I feel, no. You are loved by the Lord. You are no different than me. But for the grace of God, there go I. We need God's love to be poured out afresh and to remind us sometimes that he is working in our hearts. I want to pray with you this morning. My prayer this morning was that you would leave encouraged, that you really would. It's not too late to correct some things. It's not the end of the world if you look at your life and go, wow, it's over. It's a new day in the Lord. Today, you can start right now and say, you know what? I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make a change. Dads, we could be sitting here and just feel overwhelmed with all the pressures of work and life and just kids and marriage and think, man, I'm overwhelmed. And boy, would the enemy love you to just want to check out and just be zoned out and be. But let me tell you today, fathers, we play an incredible role in our homes. We're the priests of our homes. The world's made a mockery of fathers, but I'm telling you, dads, your kids need you. Men, the church needs you. Your wives need you. Your children need you. This nation needs you. Godly men who are imperfect like me, but say, you know what? I want to leave a legacy. I didn't have that growing up as a kid. My family and I, we never went to church. I am not kidding. We were CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. I can remember my family was so dysfunctional. I can remember we went to a Catholic church and it was a Palm Sunday and me and my brother ran up and grabbed a whole load of those palms and were jacking around and my dad just hauled off and slapped us right in the face, right? Church, don't act like that in church. Okay. You know, I mean, we just had no church upbringing at all. And so as I approach my family and my life, I say, God, I am not going to be able to do what I just preached unless I learn to completely lean on you. It will be impossible for me because I do not have in myself that godly training and upbringing. And so I feel a lot of pressure, but I just simply let go and give it to God. Maybe there's some guys here who feel like that themselves. Let me just connect with you guys for a minute and say, that's all we can do is say, God, help us. Help us. Help us to be godly men. Help us to do the right thing, to lead our families, to say we're sorry to our children when we need to embrace them and love them. So I want to pray for you this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for LMC and the people that are here today. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of the Lord that is upon this house. Lord, your word says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Lord, I pray today for family, that there would not be an in vain laboring, but that they would look to you, lean to you. They would trust you, Lord God, that your supernatural strength and power would fill each and every heart right now. For those who feel abandoned, I thank you that your word says in Psalm 68 that you set the lonely in families. God, here's a place where they can belong. Here's a church where they can be part of. And they can come to a family and be connected. Here's a group of people who love you with all their hearts and are doing their best to serve you. Lord, I pray today, Father, especially my heart right now, for the men particularly here, Lord, for the dads, for the young men that are soon to be dads, I pray, Lord God, that they would make choices. God, speak to them. Speak to the fathers. Lord God, let the father heart of God be in so abundance in this house. Let it be so abundance in the heart of men. Lord, for the children who grow up without dads, may they find godly men that they can look to who will love them, Father. Oh, Lord God, just pour your blessing out upon these people today. Lord, let us have a great day today. Lord, thank you for all their children, their grandchildren. Thank you for each and every one of them. I'm just so blessed when I come to this church to be around such amazing people. Lord, I just thank you today for all you're going to do. And we ask these things in the name of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen.